This is Wing Lam, founder of Wahoo's Fish Taco, with my brothers Mingo and Ed. You're listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show on Sports Radio AM 830 KLAA, the home of Angels Baseball.
And welcome back. It is the Mother's Day edition of the SoCal Restaurant Show, and we're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Angels Baseball. And the Angels are on a three-game win streak. We love that. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show. Do keep up with us on social media. If you go to either our Instagram or our Facebook feed right now, you will see some images of the product line of the Matzah Project, which is our next subject of conversation. And we're enthusiastically presented each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. As regular listeners to the show know, annually, I love walking the Natural Products Expo West in Anaheim and seeing what's new in some incredible gourmet specialty food products. What I like to do is isolate a handful, particularly entrepreneurial success stories from small companies of products that I really like and enjoy, and then highlight them on the show thereafter. So we're going to continue that series this morning. But the creativity that is out there with products that might seem to be a little pedestrian, I always respect. And in that vein, my social media guy, Adam Bell, he was down at the show when they were setting up a little earlier than I could get there. And he stumbled across something called the Matzah Project and met the co-founder, Kevin Rodriguez, who also is in partnership with Ashley Albert. I had a chance to get the story, taste a wide variety of their product line, and they were a must to get on the show. So live from Brooklyn, New York, we have the founders of the Matzah Project, Ashley Albert and Kevin Rodriguez. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome.
Hi, thanks so much.
Good morning, Andy.
That was quite an introduction.
Ashley, I appreciate your sense of humor. I know Kevin is involved in that, but if I have the roles right, Kevin is kind of the product developer with input, of course, from you, Ashley, but you are the marketing maven and you have a wonderful product, Ashley, but in terms of the marketing handle you have and particularly your packaging, it's very clever and it really separates you from the other matzahs that are out there that, you know, to say the packaging is ho-hum and plain Jane, I think I'm giving them too much credit. So let's back up a little bit, Kevin and Ashley. How did you embark on this great adventure called the Matzah Project? Because I really wasn't aware that matzah needed reinventing, but indeed you've done that.
Yeah, well, I'll start. Yes, matzah was traditionally a pretty unsexy cracker for a very long time. And I had come up with this idea for a friend of mine whose family was going out of business, a pizza place was going out of business. And I was like, ooh, you should start a matzah company. And she didn't. And then 20 years later, Kevin and I went to summer camp together. And we were hanging out and he was thinking about changing careers. And I was like, ooh, you should start a matzah company. And Kevin said, yes, great idea. I love it. I will. And then he went home and started working on a recipe in his kitchen using a pasta roller. His wife made like a cutter out of pizza cutters. And he would bring them to me in brown paper bags. And I'd be like, more salt, less oil, extra flour. And then finally we hit on the recipe. And because it had been macerating in my head for so long, I pretty much knew exactly what I wanted the box to look like and where it lived on the shelf and who was going to buy it. And I think the surprise was that it was even bigger than what my original plan of who was going to buy it was. Turns out matzah is just like a good, neutral cracker.
Ashley, that is true. Before we get into the packaging, what year are we talking about that Kevin started perfecting recipes for what became the Matzah Project and, you know, your original product, which was the matzah sheets?
That was back in 2015. So we had this first had this conversation, I think, over bowls of matzo ball soup.
Well, of course. Why not?
And then we were talking, and I remember this idea, I think, had floated around in the past, and I was, you know, one of Ashley's thousands of ideas. And I think this time I took it as like, yes, you're, it's a little bit crazy, but also pretty great. And I think what you hit on, Andy, about, you know, sort of ho-hum in the marketplace, and, you know, it really was, I think, sort of commoditized, and, you know, there's a lot of complacency around that section of the grocery store in general. There's not a lot of, you know, innovation happening there. And so we saw, I think what Ashley alluded to is like people responding to this thing in a way that I think really, you know, a community and a connection emotionally around this product that people really, you know, when it got out there, people really did respond to.
Kevin, let's share a little secret with the audience, because, you know, not everyone is familiar with matzah. And even under that group, in terms of where you would find it in the grocery store, is not always easy. Traditionally, where in a grocery store is matzah hidden? Because it's not the cracker aisle.
Yeah, traditionally, right, you would find it usually in the kosher aisle, and that often is hidden. I know there are stores in New York where it's literally behind a column. It's not the, you know, not the highest traffic part of the store, for sure. And I think that was, you know, part of our journey has been to both illuminate that area, but also to pull it out into the cracker aisle, or in a lot of instances where we started, you know, not really in big grocery stores, we're still mainly in a lot of the specialty stores and cheese shops and other places where there may not even be a kosher aisle, and including, you know, office snacks or hotels or places where
or JetBlue.
Right now, and snack boxes flying around the country on JetBlue. So they're
wonderful.
There's no kosher aisle at all.
Definitely not. No, not on JetBlue. Yeah, and I think that was the idea. Was that we said, you know, pita chips when we were kids was like a, you know, an exotic Middle Eastern snack that you got at a Middle Eastern restaurant that they just hand baked when they had, you know, leftover pita bread. And now no one even associates pita chips with that cultural background. It's just something that you use for hummus. And so my pitch with the matzah chip that we make is that it is more versatile than a pita chip, more flavorful than a water cracker, and more elegant than a saltine. And so we really have been trying to push that to be just nestled up next to the bagel chips and the pita chips, in that sort of half chip, half cracker weird purgatory of the store.
Sure. Ashley, you know, you'll definitely get there as far as that's concerned. Now, just so our listeners have a better idea of the response to your project, and also the fact that, you know, you get West Coast recognition too, and I'll let you guys finish the story. But a year ago, our own Los Angeles magazine did a taste test of every matzah they could come up with. And, of course, it was a lot of the big commercial brands. Ashley and Kevin, where did the Matzah Project's matzah end up?
Number one, baby. Yeah, we were very excited about that. I mean, but truly, like, no surprise, because in the end, we know that our matzah is more delicious than the other stuff. A lot of, you know, most of the time, the people who are eating matzah are eating it once a year for 1 week for this specific cultural holiday. And that's not how we're making our matzah. We say that it's for the other 51 weeks of the year. And so we were pretty confident going in that we were going to be able to take on big matzah.
Well, I think you have. Before we go out to our first break, Ashley, and then we'll pick up the conversation. We talked about the quality of the product. We talked about the taste of the product. When we come back, we'll get into the whole product line because it's rapidly expanding. But I alluded to earlier in the conversation your marketing handle. Tell us about Bubi and how she plays into all of this.
I'll start with that. I feel like I'm doing all the talking, but I will.
No, no, we'll get Kevin back in the conversation. No worries.
He knows so much more than I do. But what I can tell you about the marketing stuff is that Kevin and I grew up in South Florida. We went to summer camp in North Carolina together, but we also grew up in Miami and have very similar grandmothers who are, who's a grandmother you don't see a lot in, you know, pop culture. Usually you see either like the kindly, warm, chubby, loving grandma or like the shaking her cane, get off my lawn grandma. But both of our grandmas were like hip, joke-telling, fashionable, funny, smart grandmas. And that's just not a grandma you see very often. And we thought that it was an archetype of a Jewish grandmother. But when we came up with the product and when we were just designing the box, Kevin and I would go, we didn't know what we were doing. We went into grocery stores and we just wandered the aisles and say, okay, what did all these boxes have? What do we need to have on our box? And we noticed that every box had either a picture of the cracker or a window where you could see the cracker. And so we thought, oh no, we got to put a window on here. But I had already envisioned our box with the big grandma head on the front. And so we really had no choice. We were like, where are we going to put a window? We're like, all right, let's just make her glasses the window. And when we did that, I mean, it obviously was an innovative at the time. Now you can see a lot of those things happening in packaging. But when we did it, it was pretty revolutionary. And in addition to it looking cool, what we didn't take into account is when you take the eyes off of the grandma, somehow she becomes completely ethnically ambiguous. And people come up to us all the time and are like, this reminds me of my Korean grandma or my Jamaican grandma or my Italian grandma. And it turns out all grandmas want you to wear a scarf, and they want to know who you're dating, and they think you look too skinny. Like, turns out that's not just a Jewish grandma thing. That's just a grandma thing. So it's so exciting to see that.
Definitely a universal quality. We are speaking with the co-founders of the Matzah Project. It is a whole product line around matzah. They're chips. There's a matzah ball soup kit. There's a matzah ball mix itself. A wonderful chocolate item. We're going to pick up the conversation after the break, and we're going to have Kevin talk about the product line. And again, we are speaking to the founders, Ashley Albert and Kevin Rodriguez of the Matzah Project. You are listening to the SoCal Restaurant Show. We're proudly presented by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats.